Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin a series of devotional lessons or studies based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin our journey in the Gospel of John, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to open up thy very words, your inerrant, inspired, infallible words, as you've seen fit to preserve them in the good old King James Bible. Father, we just pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher today, Lord. I pray for the saint of God listening today, that this lesson or study would be an encouragement to them, that it would help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the lost sinner that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they would call from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, that they will trust in his shed blood and nothing else to save them from their sins and to give them a home in heaven. Father, as the angels in heaven rejoice, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, have your will in your way in our study today. We commit this time into thy hand and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to begin by looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verses 1 through 4. Let's read those together. Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our passage or our devotion in John chapter 1 through 4 is simply entitled Life. Life. It is amazing how young a person might be when they begin to search to find the answers to life. Still more amazing would be the wide range of answers if we asked what the opinion of life was. You see, to some, money is life. To others, pleasure is life. And to others, popularity is life. Goals that are reached is life to some. Positions that are granted is life to others. Life to a doctor is that heartbeat, to which he is dedicated to preserve by every means he has at his disposal. Life is a strange term, meaning many different things to many different people. Well, what does the scripture say? Whatever our opinion or definition might be, the Bible says, and we just read it here, in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 4, we read, in him was life. To understand even a portion of such a great declaration, you and I must go back to the very beginning. Seeing him as the fountain of all life. You see, we must take a sincere look at the present and see that in him life exists, and to know that only through him Can we have eternal life? Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus, he said to her in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Let's look at the threefold look at him. John in his gospel wrote, as we just read, in him was life. Let us take a threefold look at him who is life. First of all, let's look at his changeless life. His changeless life. The 33 years that Jesus Christ lived on this earth was only a phase of him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us take a scriptural look at his changeless life. First of all, his pre-existent life. His pre-existent life. In verses 1 and 2 of the Gospel of John that we just read in chapter 1, we read the words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, my dear friend listening today, before the world was made, before the morning stars sang together, before the sun cast its rays across the heavens, he was. Let's look at his earthly life. His earthly life. In verse 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, my dear friend, Jesus Christ left his state of glory and came to this earth, born in a lowly stable of Bethlehem, had no place to call his home, and ended up on an old rugged cross, bearing the sins of the whole world, crying out, "It is finished." We have that great hymn of the faith, the old rugged cross, which goes, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Now, we've been looking at some things under his changeless life. We saw his, number one, his pre-existent life. We saw his earthly life. Number three, his eternal life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, we read the following. I am he that liveth, Jesus says, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see, my dear friend, the grave could not hold life. 3 days after they had buried him, and seal the tomb. He came forth, proved to be alive before the disciples, and ascended back to the Father. While the Apostle John was exiled on the barren island of Patmos, he appeared to him, declaring that he was alive forevermore. There can be no question about his life, that he lived, that he still lives, for his footprints, handprints, and heartprints have touched every part of this earth. Again, we're reminded, in him was life. How could man know anything about life without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? We're doing a threefold look at him, the threefold look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second point is, we want to look, or the second look is his creative life. His creative life. We go back to John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 3, and we read the following. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not only does he have life in himself, but the life of all living creatures was in him. You see, every animal that walks upon the earth is the product of his creation. Every bird that flies through the air is life from him. Every fish of the ocean, the life of nature, the day, the night, the seasons are all of him. Now, the question often arises about the heathen who have never heard the gospel. And are they responsible to God? My friend, there is enough God around us all the time to know that he lives. In fact, the Apostle Paul cleared the question in the first chapter of his letter to the church at Rome in verse number 20. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we read this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We walk on the earth that he created. We eat the food that he has given. We breathe the air that he has provided. Again, I remind you, my dear listener, in him was life. Again, we're looking at a threefold look. A threefold look of in him was life. We've looked at, number one, his changeless life and some things about that. We look, second of all, about his creative life. And now, the third look is his conquering life. His conquering life. If we return to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, look with me at what it says there in verses 11 and 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We read the following. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When man was created, he was exalted above the living creatures and was given dominion over them. But man had a common enemy, the devil. The devil's appearance on the earthly scene caused man to fall. The fall brought judgment. Therefore, death held reign over man and sin dominated his life. We read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, he said, "Death reigned from Adam to Moses." You see, the law was given by Moses, and man could not keep the law. Therefore, he was still guilty and without any peace. Then, thank God, Jesus came, took all our sins upon him, laid his life down on the cross, let God strike the blow of judgment upon him, so that all men might have the privilege to be set free. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. He says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ." Beloved, listening today, you have tried, you have searched, you have looked and longed, but you will never find what you are looking for until you meet Christ. For in him was life. Before we move on to another devotion in our Gospel of John, I want to ask you a question. Dear listener, are you lost without life? Jesus is searching for you. You see, he wants to save you, and he wants to give you life. Again, we're reminded in him was life. Now, we want to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And we've already read the first four verses, but let's read from verse 1 through 5 of the Gospel of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here's verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This next devotion is simply entitled, "God is God." The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." To believe there is a God, all we have to do is behold the mighty handiwork. A scoffer once said to one who believed in God, "You say your God is everywhere. Show me your God." The believer called the infidel outside and told him to look at the sun. He looked but said, "I cannot see. The light blinds me." The believer replied, "If you cannot look at one of my God's creatures, how could you look upon the Creator?" Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those who are pure in heart can see God in everything. When the tree bears fruit, it is God. When the darkness gives way to the rising of the morning sun, it is God. An aged man was asked why he believed there was a God. He said, "I've been around a long time, and I've seen the work of man fail. But I view the heaven, and the North Star is in the same place when I first saw it. The sun and the moon never change their course. That is proof of God." Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." You see, my dear friend, no artist can paint the color like God. In the flower birth forth, the fact that God is God. First of all, as we look at God as God, we want to see, first of all, God is God of creation. God is God of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." When we survey this old world, in the way in which it is fitted together, the mountains, the valley, the dividing of the waters, we know it is the work of a master. The master is God. Like the architect of great buildings, so has God designed the universe. Not only is God is God of creation, but God is God of salvation. God is God of salvation. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. We read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Salvation, my dear friend, is of God. Through God's love, we have salvation. Religion, my friend, is of man, but salvation is of God. You can become a member of the church by man. You can be baptized of man. You can get a lot of religious philosophy of man. But if you obtain salvation, it must come from God. We've seen so far, God is a God of creation, number one. Number two, God is a God of salvation. And number three, God is a God of consummation. God is a God of consummation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And we read this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You see, God is going to call a halt to this one day. He will say that it is enough. And he will send the Savior to rapture the saints out of the world. And the events that follow will finally lead to that great and final judgment. That great white throne judgment. Amen. That great white throne judgment that's found in Revelation chapter 20. Let's turn there. Because if you're listening today and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the judgment that awaits you, my dear friend. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So my dear friend listening today, if you die without never trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else to save you from your sins and to give you a home in heaven, then this is what's going to happen to you. You will be literally cast into a literal lake of fire. A Christian was asked if his God was a big God or a little God. He answered, "He is both." The one who asked was confused and said, "What do you mean he is both big and little?" The answer was, "He is so big the heavens can't contain him, and he is so little he can dwell in my heart." That concludes our devotional studies in the Gospel of John. Today, we'll continue next time on the Pastor Study to continue our series of devotional studies or lessons in the Gospel of John. I hope there will be a blessing to you. And I want to remind folks again that all of the studies, the lessons on the Pastor Study, are available on CD. If you'll just drop me a note at the address given at the end of the broadcast, and I'll get it right out to you. I also have a catalog listing all the studies and lessons that have been heard here on the World Wide Web, and that's absolutely free as well. And again, I have a book that was published a couple of years ago entitled Lessons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense, and I'll send that out to you upon your request absolutely free. It's been a blessing to be with you today, and this is Brother Gino saying, I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.